is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work while the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Till brighter stars with labor, rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset sky. While their bright tints are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam faded, faded to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the changing of the showbread on Sabbath. Thank you for continuing your presence among us as we gather here for the sermon hour. And thank you for bridling my tongue so that whatever goes forth is to glorify you, for you are the one that wrote it all down anyway, and so all we can do is echo that which you have penned. And so please bless those hearts that are attending, be they in the room here, the radio, on the teleconference, or on the stream. Please bless them with a calmness of heart so that they don't get all upset. And I'm, of course, speaking of Roman Catholics and those that don't know this about the Pope, but bless them so that they stay and they listen for a little while, just so they can get some seeds planted and realization sparked up. Again, we uplift everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and all those that were mentioned in the children's story and in the study hour and with the prayer request in the chat room. And again, thank you for always accepting our prayers in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. So praise the Lord. I've been looking forward to this since the Lord revealed unto me that he wanted me to start doing this again. Because I years ago when I first came online, one of the first things, and I want to share this before I start, because it was an actual healing miracle that happened in front of 75, maybe 100 families. I don't remember how many were there. But I got an email out of the blue, and I never found out to this day, who sent me that email. But the person told me to go to Fire Talk and share online the evidence that I had on my website at the time, and I think the site was at 3,000 pages. Now it's over 14. But I said, what's Fire Talk? I remember Fireside Chat. Not that I was alive at that time when that president was doing that next to the radio. I think it was Eisenhower. Or Truman, I don't know, one of those guys. And so I went online and I thought, oh, wow, it's an audio conference. I thought, well, see, I'm having a little difficulty here. My brain's working a little bit faster than my mouth, and so I was having difficulty speaking. And so, because like when I was on the street, I was a speed talker, you know. But as I got older and I wasn't doing much in regards to speaking, I was already moved away from the Chicago area. We're living on a farm, I think, by now. And I just started doing some internet work, And I would have to speak like this at times to just make sure that I didn't talk too fast, because if I did talk too fast, words would mix together and it would kind of sound bad, and I was having difficulty speaking. And then so I started up this room, and it was called The Pope is Antichrist. And that's why I titled the sermon today, Pope is Antichrist. I changed it because it was just plain Antichrist, but then the Lord moved me to put, like I did, oh man, I don't know. Internet just started, so I can't even remember how many years ago that was. And all those people came in, and I started speaking, and all of a sudden, I had the ability to speak again like I did when I was young. And so after I calmed down a little bit, I revealed it to everybody and shared with them. And then we went on from there. But then over the years, the Lord has blessed me with a way to calm down when I speak, because one of the main problems that I was having back then was I was speaking way too fast, and which was an absolute blessing, because I really was like I was on the street when I was young. But the people were saying, please slow down. We can't keep up with you, you know. And so I would have to slow down because of the reason I would speak fast, because it was a habit. Because you get somebody on the street, you might get all of 5 to 10 seconds to talk with them. So I would throw as much data out there as I could, you know, and so I would speak really, really fast. And maybe a couple of words they'd catch, like, oh, and they turn around and walk back and want to hear it. So, but anyway, I just thought I'd share that. So, but getting to this, this here, I'm going to be doing this series for quite a while. And but like I did with the videos on YouTube, if I come across like something that's apt, like if the Lord tells me to skip it for 1 week and then do a sermon, I will. I'll do that. Just like I did the other day with that video I put up 2 days ago in regards to the One World Church. I didn't want to put that up. I didn't think anybody'd hit it. You know, I didn't think anybody cared. But I put it up anyway. I think it was the enemy of souls messing with me, saying, don't put it up, don't put it up, don't, you know. And so I put it up. And it seems, you know, a lot of people wanted to check it out. And so, but living in these last days, the way we are, and how we have the benefit of historic records at our very fingerprints, fingertips because of the internet, and the fact that the Lord has been sending more people in through the stream as well as on the radio. We're always getting good numbers on the radio with the people coming in. And I'm not about the numbers. I just like having a bunch of quality Christians listening in. But history is behind us. And so, well, the majority of it. And so we have easy access to proof that the prophecies were fulfilled in the exact years as well as in the exact manner that the Bible said they would be regarding the Antichrist. Hence the reason John Paul II, Paul the Apostle said what he said back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. And the notes, let me put them in the room. I apologize. Let me get the notes in here. There. Okay, so I'm going to try to remember to scroll, but if I don't, let me get the actual, pull the link off this stream here really, really quick here for you. And I can't. Can somebody please put that in the link in the room, in the stream? Because I might forget to scroll up every now and then. You know, and so for those of you on the stream, if you want all these notes, just there's a link that I built. It's, it's not even visible because of the way the stream stuff works, I got to go into it. Yeah, just do this. Go, like, I hope you're listening and you got a pen handy. Remnantofgod.org. Thanks, Gospel Lore or whatever. If you just go to that, you scroll underneath the chat room. You don't have to go into the chat room. You scroll under it, and there's the notes. So that's an easier way of doing it. Just go to that page that he put in, okay, or she. I think it's a he. So, anyway. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5 says this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first. Okay, let me stop here for a minute. How many on this planet do not think a falling away has happened? Because if you don't, you need to open a Bible. I mean, even an atheist is saying stuff is going on out there that they don't understand. It's bad. I mean, there has been a falling away. People are, the love of many has waxed cold where they're killing each other and dads killing kids and moms. And it's just crazy out there. So during this time, this is Paul says that the falling away comes first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, or yet with you, I told you these things? And so I'm going to try and share what the Lord revealed in his word regarding this man of sin, as well as everything that is stated right there in that prophetic utterance that Paul shared to the Thessalonians that day in that epistle. But I can't do it all today. There's just too much. You are going to be shocked. If you stick for this whole series, you're going to be shocked as to how many evidences there are in the scripture that say the popes are Antichrist. I'm not just talking about the one of today, you know, the Jesuit one. All of them from day one. Every single solitary one of them had been used by Satan. The Roman Catholic Vatican is his masterpiece. I mean, they've even got a statue in there of Satan coming out of this. Oh, it's disgusting. And it's huge. One of these days, I'll put that, I think I got it in one of my videos, but I'll put it in the room one of these days and somebody can put it on the stream. It's amazing how bold he is and no one sees it. That's why he's laughing the way he is. Because he's telling the Lord, look, they call themselves Christians. They don't even know that that's all about me. If they would open up your Bible and just read it for 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, within a year or two, they wouldn't be in this church anymore. Well, actually, within a few months. Took me 18 months, actually, to get out of the Catholic Church. But as Christians, we now need to take advantage of these historic records so as to help those that trust the truth find even more of it. And that's why we're doing what we're doing today. I mean, truth like this is going to bless the hearts of many. It's going to open eyes, it's going to fill God's church, and it will make heaven that much better to have, because those that embrace it are going to be in heaven when it finally starts, and our family is going to be that much larger. You know, I'm one of 11 kids, and I got to tell you, I miss all my siblings, because when I left the Catholic Church, I, of course, was disowned. But, I mean, things have calmed down over the last 33, 4 years, but still, you know, phone doesn't ring. Let's just put it that way. But if you read my book, People Get Ready, you know heaven starts much sooner than later. In fact, I have an updated version of that book on my page titled, We Are Very Near the End. And if you scroll down, like if you're on the chat and you scroll down, you go to box number 7, it'll have a green thing there. You got the Man of Sin link. There's People Get Ready, and right under it is We Are Very Near the End. Those are the books. Okay, so let me scroll back up. Well, actually, let me go. Oh, yeah, I'll just leave it there because I haven't even finished box 1 yet. So, but yeah, I always put the links in box 7, and I'm not putting all of them in there because that box would be huge. Because this page, this is actually going to be a page on the website, this sermon series. It's an update of a page, actually. And so all the links are going to be in there. I mean, I link everything out. So, but anyway, before investigating, though, the prophetic symbols that describe the characteristics of Antichrist, we need to understand that the Word of God tells us how to define all the symbols in prophecy. 2 Peter 1:20 says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That simply means Christians are not to give our own opinion of what we think a prophetic symbol means, because common sense dictates we did not write that Bible. Our God wrote that Bible. And so he is the one that defined each and every one of the symbols in his book for us. And so for us to think that we can go out there and define it, we're going to be easily exposed, because sooner or later someone that has read the Bible and knows what the symbols means is going to step up and put us in our place. And so that's why Peter said what he said. But we must always allow the Word of God to define its own symbols, because, like, you know, our interpretations are useless. Well, for example, the term many waters in prophecy doesn't mean a large ocean any more than the word woman means an actual woman in prophecy. When used in the prophetic sense, these words are symbolic images hidden in plain sight so as to prevent the wicked from knowing the truth about the times we live in. This is for us. This is for the obedient people of God. This is our ammunition in this holy war we find ourselves in. I mean, for if those wicked people knew about what we know, without receiving Christ as Savior, they would be much more effective in their attack against God's obedient people, as well as have more ability to twist God's word. And yes, they know a lot, because it's been, 1,700 years since Rome started flexing when it came to the first Sunday law. But they don't know it all, and there's no way they can get utterance. You can only understand prophecy and doctrine if you obey the guy that wrote it, and they certainly don't obey it. But the truth is, check this out, there are 404 verses in the book of Revelation, and out of these 404 verses, 278 of them carry the bulk of the prophetic message of that book. That being said, did you know that all 278 of those verses can be found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible? In other words, just as our Lord planned so as to prevent confusion, the Bible defines itself perfectly. I think that's just so amazing. I mean, each symbol in Daniel, Revelation, or any other prophetic book for that matter are defined in detail in God's Word. So don't let anybody, be they a brother or sister or even a pastor in Christ, give you their private opinion or their interpretation when it comes to prophetic symbols or prophetic events as they are outlined in the Bible. We must always let the Word of God define the Word of God so as to prevent any confusion whatsoever. And that way you don't have to cover your tracks and figure, well, did I tell this lie back then, or did I kind of like fabricate this, or did I think this meant this back then when I preached? No. If you don't know what it means from Scripture, don't open your mouth, because then you're going to have to backtrack and try to correct a bunch of problems. In fact, that's an easy way to expose the many false teachers we see all over the world in these last days. I mean, just hear what they have to say, then open up a Bible and see if what they say matches up with what the Lord says regarding a certain symbol, just like the Bereans did. If it doesn't, then just don't sit with them in worship, for it's plainly written in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that we must be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And yes, if they declare a prophetic symbol to mean something you know is not proven with Scripture, and better yet, you know of the verses that do define the symbol, then they are openly declaring themselves to be unbelievers in the God of the Bible. And therefore, you cannot sit with them in worship or study until they repent. The Lord wrote the Bible. He defined the symbols, so there's no getting around that. And if they come up with a different definition, they're not believing God, who put the definition in there. And some of it's pretty blunt, as we're going to see here in a minute. So, what does the Word of God have to say about these symbols that define certain desires of characteristics, or even the plans of Antichrist? And does history confirm these prophecies to be authentic? Can it be that accurate? Oh, and by the way, when you get time, check out a video I did back in 2015, just to give you an idea as to what period of time we're in here. And by the way, this is going to be about at least a 40-minute sermon. And so we're only about 15 minutes into it. And so it's a video I did called Fox News Calls for a Global... Fox News Calls for Global Ruler. It's on YouTube. This video outlines something students of prophecy have been watching and waiting for decades. The mainstream media is right now setting the stage for talking points to begin regarding, this is back in 2015, by the way, the need for a global leader who we all know will head up the Vatican's New World Order so as to not only bring on the arrival of the long prophesied Antichrist, which will bring on the Mark of the Beast. Now, this is why the One World Church officially started back in, unofficially started back in 2010 when I did that newsletter, a couple of months after they did it in June 26, 1999, I believe it was, because I put out a newsletter a couple of months later on it because I'd had to do a bunch of research, and I found that only the Protestants, the Catholics were joining in that church. That included the SDAs, by the way. And we got proof of that, too. But they had to get the Hindus, the Muslims, the Jews, and everybody else. Well, that's why the One World Church video that I put out the other day was more or less a finalization of the bricks that they had to build their bogus little untempered wall with. Because they already got the Jews. I mean, the Jews have already agreed to keep Sunday holy. And then after they got the Jews to agree to keep Sunday holy, they got them to break Sabbath by law. So a couple of years ago, they said it's okay to break the Sabbath in Tel Aviv. Literally, I kid you not. And that's how it goes. If they can get you to bow to Rome, then they're going to go for the jugular of your faith. And so they made them break Sabbath, and they did. So that's why the Pope did what he did with that imam the other day. So what's going to be the first prophecy we're going to share in this series? Antichrist is going to destroy three nations after Rome falls. And we have evidence the popes of Rome did it. At this time, he wasn't called a pope. He was just called Bishop of Rome. But he already called himself Pontificus Maximus behind closed doors anyway, which is the official title of Caesar. Because Satan gave the keys of pagan Rome to papal Rome, which is another prophecy we get into later. So, Antichrist is going to destroy three complete nations out of the original ten that fell, that came out of fallen Rome. All right? And the prophecy is found in Daniel 7:24. And there it is. It's box number three in the room. Let me scroll up a little bit because I remembered. All right, so Daniel 7:24 says, "And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings." We're going to get into this diverse thing later. It's pretty bold about it. You're going to be amazed at how accurate Christian prophecy is and why. And you're going to be a little upset at your pastor why they never mentioned this stuff. At least that's what I found out when I was doing it on Fire Talk many years ago. So Daniel the prophet identifies here that the ten horns upon a certain beast that he saw in a vision actually refers to kings. And we're going to get back to this beast and its identity a little later on. But for further information, we see later in Daniel 8:20 that the two horns on the ram Daniel sees in the vision are, in fact, the two kings of Media and Persia. I mean, check it out. Christian prophecy is actually that easy to understand at times. It literally says in Daniel 8:20, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." So it's an open book test, to be honest with you. So when pagan Rome fell in 476 AD, it resulted in the formation of 10 separate kingdoms. Three of these 10 kingdoms politically rejected the idea cultivated by Satan and echoed by the Bishop of Rome regarding the universal format, or that's a Latin, or what they call Catholic format, because the word Catholic is a Latin term which means universal. That's why it's called Roman Universal Church. Well, it's actually called Roman Catholic, but everybody knows the word Catholic means it's a Latin term. So regarding a universal or Catholic form of government is what they were planning to do, and that was actually going to be a religious and political form of government so as to better control the people of the now fallen nation of Rome. And we're going to get back into that religio-political thing of this prophecy later on as well, but that's kind of why Daniel called it diverse. I'll give you a hint. It's a woman riding on a beast. Never, ever happened in the history of mankind to have a global power with a woman on a beast, because a woman means a church, a beast means a nation. All right, and we'll get into all that later. So I hope you got a pen handy. Take notes. If not, this will be online. I mean, I got a basic version of this online already. And I say basic because that's going to go a lot more intense now. So, getting back. Satan was the one that controlled pagan Rome. And he was prophesied to rule via papal Rome once the keys of Rome changed hands. So, he has... And so, he was not about to give up this church and state design of power to anyone. He had these plans. He was going to do it. The 10 nations that fell in 476 had to go along or they're going to get annihilated. You know, he says, this is what's going to happen. And that's why Daniel saw what he said about, which we'll get into later, about the little horn that plucked up the other horns. Three of them fell. And so these nations that are rejecting his plans were annihilated for protesting against his graphically evil plans, you know, to do a church and state. And so the Heruli nation was annihilated in 493 AD, the Vandals were destroyed in 534 AD, and then the Ostrogoths were the last to fall in 538 AD, and that was the final of the three kings that would be subdued, just as the Daniel prophesied centuries earlier. With the fall of the Ostrogoths in the year 538, the political entity we today refer to as Roman Catholic Church began its official reign as the beast mentioned in the prophecy of Daniel and the woman on a beast later on in Revelation, which again we'll study later. But I will share the verses that in the study. I don't know if it's going to be next week or the week after. No, next week is Q&A. So, but let's move on. But for those that are wondering, these are the nations that are in agreement with Rome back then, as well as their current names for today. I'll name all 10 nations. Of course, the nation number 8, 9, and 10, they're no longer here. It was Ostrogoth, Vandal, and Herules. They're gone. So the other seven that stayed, you know, the first one was the Almanus nation, which is now called Germany. The Visigoths are now called Spain. The Franks, obviously, are called France. The Swaves are now called Portugal. The Burgundians are now called Switzerland. The Anglo-Saxons are now called England. And then the Lombards are Italy. So historic records reveal this prophecy was fulfilled to the letter. Check this out. This is from the Book of Daniel, page 109. It says this. Not the actual Bible book. This is a book called the Book of Daniel. All right. It says, the three divisions which were plucked up were the Heruli in 493, the Vandals in 534, the Ostrogoths in 538. And I think I got the quotes right there on box number four. Justinian the emperor, who we see was at Constantinople, working through the general Belisarius, was the power that overthrew the three kingdoms represented by the three horns. And the reason for their overthrow, with their adherence to our Arianism, was in opposition to the Orthodox Catholic faith when it was starting out. The next quote is from History of the Christian Church, Volume 3, page 327. It says, Vigilus, the son of the papal chair, in 538 AD, under the military protection of that man, Belisarius, that was just mentioned a minute ago. General Belisarius. And then this last one I got is from C. Mervyn Maxwell's book, God Cares, Volume 1, page 129, and he says this. Catholic emperors of the Eastern Empire found ways to help the Pope by eliminating three of the Arian tribes. These Arian-type nations would not agree with the Pope's plans. The Catholic Emperor Zeno, 474 to 491, arranged a treaty with the Ostrogoths in 487, which resulted in the eradication of the kingdom of the Arian Heruls in 492. See, that's how Rome's always worked. On my Daniel 11 Define page, Rome always makes friends, and then later either merges with the friends or pulls them into Romanism, or they annihilate them. We don't need you anymore. That's what they just did, what they're about to do with the Ostrogoths. They used the Ostrogoths to get to the Herules, all right? And then the Catholic Emperor Justinian, 527 to 565, exterminated the Arian Vandals in 534 and significantly broke the power of the Arian Ostrogoths in 538. Thus were Daniel's three horns, the Herules, or the Heruls, the way he says it, the Vandals and the Ostrogoths were plucked up by the roots, and that's how Daniel put it. So the Lord shows Daniel many years prior, after the fall of pagan kingdom of Rome, or the fourth global kingdom, there would arise another power that would seek to regain the same global kingdom for its own evil purpose. Daniel saw that when pagan Rome fell, it would split into 10 separate kingdoms. He even saw that three of the nations, you know, the 10 horns that came up on that beast that he saw in the vision, he saw that three of the nations, which were these horns, that were part of that split, wouldn't go along with the new plans to regain this global kingdom under a church and state format. And just as Daniel was shown by the Lord, it all happened with perfect timing. And by the way, and that's one of the things I like about Daniel. He's always been my favorite prophet because just about all of his prophecies were dated. All these things happen in the exact years. But we, as we see in Revelation, it says time prophecy ended when the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel ended on October 22, 1844. We know what's going to happen next in our generation. We just don't know when. And that's why when these preachers get out there and start setting dates, you know you got a false prophet. It's just that simple. So history records every step of Rome going from pagan Rome to papal Rome in this regard with absolute perfection that is only possible when a true and ever-living God speaks on such things, because no man can do this. You know, I mean, this is what's so amazing about studying prophecy in the last days. We have centuries of his story, if you want to call it history, because it's actually his story. I mean, and we look back on this and help us see our Lord's hand glorified. I mean, we can actually match historic events now with prophetic utterances in the word of the Christian God, and nary a theologian or doctor of divinity can refute it. And yes, that's why they get so angry when we present it. As prophesied in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why they get so upset with us. Because they feel like we're putting them in their place. No, 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 you jumped into that place all on your own. We're standing here, and like I warned a minute ago, eventually someone's going to come up. If you're a false prophet out there giving your own opinion on prophecies, like a secret rapture or a seven-year trib thing, or a thousand years of peace on earth with Jesus on the planet, if you're out there saying that stuff, eventually somebody's going to walk up that did do their Bible study. And they're going to, and then you're going to get upset because they're going to prove you wrong left and right. And it's just, it's not going to go well for you. So let's see if we can do another prophecy. I think we can. This one will probably take me all of 15 minutes to finish. Now, this is Antichrist is to receive its seat and authority from Rome. That's why it's called a Roman Catholic Church. All right, so Revelation 13:4 says this. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto this beast? Who was able to make war with him? And by the way, when you do a study, if those of you that don't know what the mark is, do a study on it. Look at Revelation 14. Every time the word the mark is used, the word worship's used. That's a major key that you got to work on. The mark of the beast is going to be a religious law. That's why you see what's happening in politics with all the religious banter. So, who was the dragon in prophecy? Now, this is going to, you know, this is pretty amazing how easy sometimes it is to define prophetic symbols. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Again, that's how easy Christian prophecy is to define at times. It amazes me how so many people believe such strange things when the Bible makes it so clear. I mean, I don't get it. But yeah, a lot of people know the dragon means Satan, so that's a gimme. But you're gonna, there's a lot of other stuff in here that you know, people don't know about. But as we know, continuing, that Satan never stands before man in his own true form. He's not allowed this option. And anybody could prove this but just by going to 1 Corinthians 10:13, because it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And some people are going to jump up and they're going to say, oh, wait a second, I saw Satan standing before me as in his glorified Baphomet form. And I says, well, you're not a Christian, though, are you? No. Well, this verse is only for people that believe. He's going to run the gamut with the people that don't. I mean, he's literally showing himself in front of his heads of state to this day. This is why they go forward and they do these things when even a babe in Christ knows, you know, you're playing with fire there. They don't care. At this time in the prophecy, when it comes to this dragon, the dragon was, in historic record, the dragon was seeking to attack the Christian faith to set the foundation for the prophesied mark of the beast he will use against God's people about 18 centuries later. It had to set up, he had to set up so early so as to make billions believe it was true by using something, you know, antiquity, as like I was saying earlier, you know. Making it think just, you know, many people believe that Sunday's the Sabbath and they think it's biblical simply because it was declared as such so many centuries ago. But a lie is a lie, no matter how long it is declared or how many believe it. I mean, if you don't think people had fake news 2,000 years ago like we got fake news today, well, you know, then you need to do more Bible study. It's just that simple. And so now that the church and state government was set up that mixed paganism with Christianity back in 321 AD, which was the very first historic reference ever found in wherein Christians were forced to keep Sunday holy instead of the true Seventh-day Sabbath, Satan knew that by 538, his church and state government method, that is now called Roman Catholicism today, would be perfect. It would be the perfect means by which to attack Christians legally. Hence the reason the Heruli's, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths were so against it. They knew mixing politics with religion meant they would force a state religion on the people, and they wanted no part of that, so they were destroyed by Satan for threatening his plans. And when you see in the news they talk about religious liberty that's coming in the U.S., don't let them yank your chain on that one, because they use religious liberty in China, which means you have the right to be a Roman Catholic Chinese person. That's what they're going to do. They're going to say, you have the right to be what the government says is religious, you know, and when it comes to religious laws. They're going to set the stage. They're going to say this is the religion that you have to keep, and so you have the right. In other words, they're going to say the government cannot interfere with your religious right to be Roman Catholic in the U.S. But Roman Catholicism at this time, which is already now because of the One World Church starting about a week ago, it's going to be like, it doesn't matter because the ecumenical charge says you can be a Protestant Catholic. It's just like with, Kenneth Copeland did three years ago. Him and about 4,000 or 5,000 leaders in his church, pastors, all said in unison on camera to Pope Francis, who was also on camera, that they all decided to become Roman Catholics that day, but still carry the name Pentecostal. And so that's what it means. You have the legal right to be a Christian as the government defines it as such, and so the government can't interfere with that. And that's why they got to have the one real church first, because the people aren't going to believe it if a politician says you got to do this or that, but they'll believe it if their pastor says it. And so the pastors are going to do, and that's why the 501c3 was made law back in December 2nd, 2017. It's so they can lobby for religious laws. Because that's now in the contract. It's now in the law. And what religious law do we know is coming? Well, yeah. So if you look back, without too much study, one can see that Satan has always used Rome and will continue to use Rome until the end. And so that is why the Vatican uses Latin. And they call their church, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. And the reason they use Latin is that way they can make, you know, sonnets onto Satan or Lucifer or Lucifer in Latin, and people won't even catch it. They'll think, oh, it must mean something else because I don't understand Latin. You know, you speak to them in a language they know. It's a dead language. No one knows it. No one's born with a Latin tongue. And so, but that's why they call themselves a Roman Catholic Church. And this is not something anybody needs convincing of. I mean, it's an open fact of historic record that Rome hates true Christians or Bible Christianity with a passion. And we'll get into that too. I got all sorts of quotes from Rome that you're not going to believe in regards to what they think about people that read Bibles. And this stuff's in writing, no less. And so tell all your friends, man, in the coming weeks, they're going to want to, you know, be around. Well, actually, 3 weeks from now, because next week we got Q&A, and the week after that we got testimony service. But the fact is, even the gospel portrays this definition of the true identity of the dragon at this time as well. Check it out. It says, in history, well, I'm not going to go with all the... I got a list. I put the list in. Let me scroll down a little bit. Where did I? Well, why didn't put it? Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. It's box 8. I'm going to read it to you. A Roman official, you know, Herod, he sought to kill the baby Jesus, causing the deaths of many boys. You remember that prophetic event about Rachel weeping because her son is not. All right. And so a Roman governor called Pilate condemns Jesus to die. A Roman soldier whips Jesus. A Roman band of soldiers beat and mock Jesus. A Roman executioner crucifies Jesus. And a Roman official seals the tomb of Jesus. And then a Roman squad of soldiers keep watch on the tomb of Jesus. A Roman governor, Nero. And a lot of people think he's Antichrist, but no, how can he be Antichrist? When John the Apostle outlines what Antichrist will do in the future, and he starts with the book of Revelation was penned in 95 A.D., Nero was already dead, I think, about 10 years, I think. He died long before John got the vision. So anyway, a Roman governor, Nero, placed all the followers of Jesus in peril. He loved killing them. He would burn, like Hitler. He used the demon that was in him was a demon that was in Hitler when they, blamed someone else for a fire he started so he could have a legal right to go forth and kill them. And so a Roman Colosseum is where all the Christians were fed to lions. A Roman Catholic Church killed 500 million Christians during the real Great Tribulation from 538 AD to 1798 AD, exactly 1,260 years, like Revelation says twice and Daniel says once. And yeah, it's 500 million because Fox's Book of Martyrs has them listed. Well, not all of them. It just says the number. And so a Roman Catholic New World Order will enforce the Mark of the Beast, and I got a page all about that on the website where they even have a political cartoonist made a drawing of Ratzinger, you know, Pope Benedict XVI, holding a cane with 10 heads on it because of the 10 toes of Daniel. But he didn't know. anything about the 10 toes of Daniel. We do. And so if you read your Bible and you look at that and you go, wow, look at that. A prophetic event just happened. And it's on my page, New World Order. It's the main picture on that page of that political cartoonist. And then finally, a Roman Catholic, one world religion will help enforce the mark. That more or less came to absolute fruition. I think it was February 3rd. And anyway, and then a Roman Catholic Church will use climate change to get that mark enforced. And then it goes on, you know, there's more stuff that happens after that. But Rome, most, and I think I got about, I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes left in this. Rome most assuredly allows the dragon's will to be enacted like back then, just as it does today. I mean, Rome is all the dragon can hope to become on earth. He has to have headquarters, and that's how he does it. I mean, pagan Rome, which is now papal Rome, is his prophesied masterpiece. And looking at the popes of today, as well as times past, one can see absolute Roman rule runs through the veins of this hierarchy. The clothing, the architecture, the laws, the belief structure, the art, the lifestyles, the pharmaceutical religiosity. A lot of people used to laugh at me saying, oh, what do you mean the popes have, they're part of the big pharma and with all the drugs. Well, look at the word sorcery in Revelation. Literally, when it's speaking about the beast in Rome, it talks about it uses sorcery to confuse the masses. You know those chemtrails out there are drugs that are floating down on you? And the food additives are drugs and all the drugs that the AMA pushes on the people. That's sorcery, because the word sorcery in English means pharmakia or pharmaceutical. So, and then going on, the political savvy, the global reach of this beast, to where every government office in America is designed using Roman architecture. And the laws of the land are based on, you know, Latin terms. I found that out the hard way in a courtroom once. And all of it, or the good way, actually, it was answer to a prayer. But it was a very hard day. Let's just put it that way for me. But all of this, all of it proves prophecies fulfilled in Roman Catholicism and all the world wonders after it. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic people, though. I'm talking about the popes and the prelates. The people are just deceived, just like with the Seventh-day Adventists. I go after the leaders. Because they're all bowing the Antichrist. But I don't go after the people, even though they go after me. I don't go after them. I try to warn them. You know, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yeah, in some cases, yeah. So, but that's okay. It's not like I haven't dealt with this for 34 years. And so all of it proves the prophecy is fulfilled. And now, in fact, check out what Pope Pius IX, what he said. I mean, he couldn't have been more accurate when he said this. He said this in his Discorsi on page 253. He said, the Caesar, and he's talking about himself. He says, the Caesar who now addresses you and to whom alone are obedience and fidelity due. So that's right. A pope declared himself Caesar, just as one can expect, seeing how the same demons of pagan Rome are running rampant in papal Rome. This has to be the only thing I like about the leaders of Roman Catholicism. They are so blinded by their hatred of the truth, and you can see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, specifically verses 10 and 11, that they actually make statements they have no idea allows the obedient remnant Christians a way to easily expose them in an exacting manner. They truly have no clue when they expose themselves as Antichrist by admitting to doing things the very things that Christian prophecy said Antichrist is going to do. For that, I am forever appreciative, because it makes my job that much easier. But I have seen many come out of Rome by merely showing them a prophecy or two, and then showing them a statement made by their very own leaders. Now, check this one out. Now, this statement is made by Andre Lagardi in his book, The Latin Church in the Middle Ages. He wrote it in 1915, and it's page 6. It says, speaking of the time of about 500 AD, when the Roman Empire was crumbling to pieces, he said, no, the Catholic Church will not descend into the tomb. It will survive the empire. At length, a second empire will arise, and of this empire, the Pope will be the master. More than this, he will be the master of Europe. He will dictate his orders to kings who will obey them. This statement, penned in 1915, was amazingly accurate, illustrating the long prophesied desires of these evil men in Rome. For the author stated, he will be the master of Europe. And today, This is an open and obvious fact, right down to how their flag shows demonic loyalty to the Vatican's version of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I just got an article the other day that I think happened about a year ago. But for those who don't think the Muslims are going to bother this, well, they just did it a couple, 3 days ago about the One World Church thing. But they renamed a mosque. They renamed the mosque to Mary, the mother of Jesus Mosque. I kid you not. And I'm thinking of making a video about it. I just got the article the other day. So that blue flag that you see in Europe with those stars and a pagan circle onto Baal is the exact same blue flag, the same halo of stars that are seen around depictions, the Vatican depictions of Mary in statues and in death cards. I got a list of death cards on my website. You know, like you go to a funeral and someone dies and they put a little card, a religious card, and you know, look at the back and it talks about the person, but the front usually has a picture. Well, if you're Catholic, they usually do these things with Mary, with her standing with this circle of golden stars around her head with a blue haze in the background. That's your European flag right there. Stars and all. And soon, this Empire of Rome will spread all throughout the world, just as prophesied. Well, it already has. It's already on paper. Just they haven't dropped the other shoe yet. Yes, this is why, by the way, for those of us that are, you know, that are about my age, you know, if you're in your mid-60s, you've seen this since you were a child. Every single solitary president of the United States must meet with the Pope once they're elected. And this includes if they're reelected. It's no mistake. Remember that fake little battle that the Pope and Trump was having? Trump married a Catholic girl, right? Trump was in the Vatican not shortly, directly after he got married, and he's all smiles shaking the Pope's hand. So he had no choice too, regardless. You know, maybe he didn't know that beforehand, but boy, once he got briefed, he was in the Vatican. And this is not to include, of course, well, this is also including, rather, all the other nations on earth, with the exception of about 25 or 26, and those are usually the ones that are at war because they refused to bow to Rome. And praise God, the Seventh-day Remnant people are in every nation on earth. Every nation. Doing the work, no less. Praise his name. And so, but every nation that's involved with Rome is gathered in something called the Club of Rome. I go into detail about that on my website. So, but the Pope declares himself Caesar, and then declares obedience and fidelity are due unto him alone. So this is Caesar's devil-inspired heart. I mean, this is him incarnate, literally. For the Caesars of Rome truly believed that they were gods on earth, and we'll get into that later because the Pope says that in writing. And today, this is, I mean, what? I don't want to get into this right now, but so I'm going to skip something here. But another blunt fact is this. The pagan emperor Justinian gave the keys of Rome to the Pope when he decreed that a Pope should rule over the Christian churches of the earth in 538 AD. That's when the prophecy said it. Well, anyway, so Daniel's vision and Revelation's woman on a beast was literally born that day. And yes, we will get into that later on as well, but notice this about the change from pagan to papal Rome, and I'll close with this. The prophecy said that the dragon who we know is Satan and who was using pagan Rome at the time to kill Christians, and the Colosseums would later give pagan Rome's power onto the beast, which we now call papal Rome. But we've seen this with our own eyes. We know about history, but does historic record back it up? I've got two huge quotes, but I'm only going to read a small one here from E.G. McKenzie's book, The Catholic Church, on page 14. I'm just going to read this one, but the other big one is going to be in this sermon notes or whenever I make this into a page. He said this, in 538 AD, the year when the Ostrogoths collapsed, it was out of the smoking ruins of the Western Roman Empire, and after the overthrow of three Iranian kingdoms, that the Pope of Rome emerged as the most important single individual in the West. The head of a closely organized church with a carefully defined creed, because it's all man-made, and with vast potential for political influence, dozens of writers have pointed out that the real survivor of the ancient Roman Empire is the Church of Rome. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. You can kneel. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for blessing us with this historic record and referencing that we can find, and also giving us the wherewithal to find the stuff that hasn't been changed. I mean, they're even changing your Bibles, Father, or your Bible. There's only one, but there's hundreds of them now, and they're all messed up. And so thank you for giving us a way to prove they're all messed up and then show the real historic records. Thank you for keeping us safe while we do this, because they're going to do everything they can to shut us up, especially when it goes into the loud cry. They're going to pass those laws to shut us up with the Sunday laws. And so, but by then, Father, we'll be sitting pretty good with the latter rain upon us. And so we continue to pray. Please keep the hedge of angels around us. Please help us find out where the dross is in our life, to burn it off so that we can stand firm in Christ, not for self-glory, but for you to be glorified, and to bring them in. We want a lot of family members up there, which will eventually be down here at the end of the 1,000 years, but still, we want as many loved ones as we can get in here so that we can all be together with you each and every Sabbath, no less. Wow. And so, again, please bless all those on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And thank you again for blessing everybody with answers to their prayers in regards to the prayer requests in the chat room during the children's study and the adult study. And again, thank you so much for accepting our prayers and having such long suffering towards us in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.